Good morning, church. Are we excited about Jesus? I tell you, after that testimony, get excited if you're not. And if you don't know Jesus, by the time you leave this service, please ask questions. We need Jesus in our life. I am Pastor Don, and I do oversee missions and outreach, and what a privilege it is to serve in the local church. It's my heart, because how else is the world going to get to know about Jesus Christ? The people, we are the church, and then we gather together to fellowship, to sit under the word, to encourage each other, to hear testimonies, to witness baptisms. My salvation came through observing a baptism. It was my wife. 40 years ago on Father's Day, 1984, I remember it so clearly. I saw my wife come out of the water, and the power of God hit my heart so strong that I knew I needed Jesus. Being stubborn and a little bit of a pride, a sportsman, my recognition was an achievement on the sports field to the detriment of everything else. But God got my heart, and through baptism, the power of God, Holy Spirit power, convicted me of the need for Jesus. It took 3 weeks later, but during a service, just like this, there was a call, and my heart was going boom, boom, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew I needed to answer that call, and I gave my heart to Jesus in a church, and I haven't looked back for 40 years. In fact, it's getting stronger, and there's still much more to come. I agree with Eric. I still don't know what God's got in store for me. There's more, and I want more. Our series, Be Bold. If you could put up the title slide, please. Be Bold. It is Joshua 1:8. And I was reading that. And it says, have I not commanded? Boom. It says, be strong and courageous. We probably know that bit. But let's go back. Have I not commanded you? Straight there is a command. And I'm going to finish this sermon with another command, Matthew 28:18. Command, go out and preach the gospel. We'll get to that later. So be bold. We've looked at bold influence, bold identity, bold faith, today bold resolution. And man, that just grips me, and I'll tell you why in a minute. You're going to have to hold me back, because my Christian walk is like, I don't want to hold back. I don't want to be less than I can be for Christ. Everything I've got, I want to give, I've got to want to do for Him. But often the world gets in the way, and you don't quite fulfill that passion, that dream that God has put in you. But there are ways of staying in your walk for Jesus. Next week will be week 5, Bold Prayer, and Pastor Peter will be finishing this series. We're looking at the book of Daniel. And can we put up Daniel 1:8? Today, for the first time, I'm just going to use one scripture, one verse, and we're going to really look at that one. Daniel 1:8, NIV. Daniel resolved, NIV, but Daniel resolved. Right there is the heart of this message. What is resolving? What is a resolution? If we resolve to do something, what does it mean? But Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Defile. We're going to look at what it is to defile ourselves. It's time to get like real. Really get into what the Word of God is saying to us. It's okay to have head knowledge, but can we get it in our heart and live it and act it out and demonstrate Christ's likeness to all those around us? But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, but he asked the chief official permission not to defile himself this way. That is the NIV. As a sports follower, as I was meditating and thinking about the word resolution and what it actually means, a dictionary will say this: it means to firmly decide to do something, to determine, to resolve something. Okay, so you want to do something. Good, I'm determined. Good. Yet, is that enough? As a sports follower, I was watching the cricket, and when Kane Williamson was batting and batting and batting and batting, and he got 100, it's 3,200, and that's pretty awesome, and they beat South Africa. Sorry, Lionel. But it's like the commentator said, this guy Williamson is batting with great resolve. And I thought, yeah, he was. He was determined not to get out. But if you're an Australian, when he batted in his next innings, he lasted two balls and got run out. He was resolved, but he got out for zero after two balls, and I think he hardly faced the ball. He got run out and he bumped into somebody. See, having a resolution just in your mind and determination, there's more. So I took the liberty of going to other translations of Daniel 1:8. And I've just recently really got into this, going to different versions of the Bible, all based on godly biblical principles, King James and all the ones that come through that. But I want interesting to say what different versions translate it. So let's go to slide 4, the Message version. Now, to be quite frank, I like the Message, but it's not to me the biblical sort of strong base. It's more of like a paraphrase that gives you thoughts to apply the Word of God. So it says, but Daniel determined. Okay, Daniel determined. So I'm just going to read it out just so you get this story into your heart as well. Message says, Daniel determined he would not defile himself by eating the king's food or drinking his wine, so he asked the head of the palace staff to exempt him from the royal diet. So that's the paradigm. That's the problem. That's the message we're looking at today. Why did Daniel resolve to not eat of the royal food? Let's go to the New King James Version, which I'm liking more and more. But Daniel purposed. Now that word purpose suddenly has a bit more oomph, okay? He purposed. And it says in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Wow. That he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs to he might not defile himself. There's one more scripture I searched. The Amplified Bible, the Expanded Bible. I've never used this one before, but as I was searching through all the, you know, you can go on to Bible Gateway if you're looking for opportunities to look, find a word and search it and get all the expansions of the parallel verses of the same verse. I really loved this one. Daniel decided, and then it's got in brackets, set his heart. Boom. That's it there. That's what I thought. That is what to be a person who's resolved, has a resolution to do something. It's set in your heart. Daniel decided, set his heart not to eat the king's food or drink his wine because that would defile him. So he asked Ashpenaz for permission not to defile himself in this way. You can go through the whole verse and it actually expands almost every word in that verse. But we're looking at three words. Daniel resolved not to. So background to Daniel. Now Daniel was probably a teenage boy. He was a young man. He'd been brought up in a Jewish culture where they observed the Jewish law. He'd been taught that food that was not prepared and altered and sacrificed to the God in heaven, the God that he served, was tainted, was defiled, was not consecrated to the person for God. So when Daniel got to Babylonia, remember Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC is when this happened, he raided Israel, he took it over, he took away the young leaders and he set them up in the royal court to try and train them in the way of the Babylonian culture. Now the Babylonian culture is idolatry. It's false gods and they have a whole system of teaching training was this anti-God. Daniel knew that and he was put into the situation and brought up in the court with three other Jewish young men who are intelligent, attractive, but faithful to God. So when they were put in the situation to eat the food that the king was providing for them, this food had been prepared in a Babylonian way. It had been put before an idol and they prayed over it to the devil. If it's not of God, it's of devil. It's a spiritual battle we're in. You're either for God or you're against him. If you're for God, Daniel was for God, he thought, no, I cannot do this. I am obedient to God and I will follow God. And God said to Daniel, I will look after you. I want you to make a stand. So how did Daniel get to do that? He was a praying man, a praying young man. Later on in Daniel, it says he prayed four times a day, every day. And later on, that got him into trouble. If you remember with Daniel in the lion's den, the kids will tell you all about this. We did it last week. Daniel was a praying man. He knew, as he'd been taught the Torah, so that's the first five books of the Old Testament. And the Torah comes through it. And in Leviticus, it actually outlines, if you're interested in that, in Leviticus 11, it outlines all the conditions of how to prepare the food. Now, this is Old Testament. Now, remember, the Old Testament is law. And where did the law come from? It came from Moses up on the mountain where he saw God, and God wrote in stone. Now, I had a thought. God wrote the Ten Commandments. He set them in stone. That was the Old Testament. That is the law. And that was the teaching. And Daniel had been brought up with that. And because most of those items on the king's menu had been sacrificed animals to the gods of Babylon, Daniel knew he could not agree to that. So in faith, he said no. Now, Daniel was kind, he was agreeable, and he'd got on well with the king's guard, the one that looked after him. That's Aspenaz. And he looked upon Daniel and favorably, and we know the story perhaps in Daniel, if you go just a little bit further, 10 to 15, I'm not going to look at it, but it talks about how the Daniel diet. Daniel's had this idea. God gave him wisdom. God gave him a plan, which he presented to the man looking after him, the guard. And he said, I will just eat vegetables and water for 10 days and let's see if I lose health, if I'm less healthy than all the other Babylonian men who are being trained. It was agreed, and the story goes, that they ate that diet for 10 days and they were success and they're healthy and they're fresh and the king was agreeable to them sticking to their diet. I'm not here promoting a Daniel diet because to me that is actually not the whole point of that whole passage. The point is Daniel obeyed God. God gave him a plan and he obeyed that and God honored that. To be resolute for God means more than just saying in your mind, I'm going to do this. How many people have made a New Year's resolution and are still on it? Okay, I'm going to do the diet. I'm going to lose 50 kg. I'm going to pray every day, 6 o'clock in the morning all year. Great ideas. Are we still doing it? It's rhetorical, okay? I'm a little bit sneaky sometimes because I won't agree to doing something if I don't think I can do it. But if God tells me do this, I will do it. But I'm not going to randomly say I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. But if God says to me, I want you to go and talk to that man, I will. Later on, I'm going to share a testimony of the power of God, of listening to his God, when I talk about how we are as Christians today. But let's just look back. Daniel was willing to be expelled from the Royal Academy and probably sentenced to death for disobeying the Nebuchadnezzar. Yet he, in faith, stood up and he put forth that plan, and God honored him. Slide 7. Are you just as resolute in making decisions for God? So now I'm going to start asking you, where do you stand? How resolute are you in your Christian faith? Daniel was going against the tide. He was going against the culture. And in New Zealand, we have a freedom, yet it is becoming harder and harder as a Christian to put forward your Christian views in the public domain. 2010 to 2016, I was in the Baptist church as the children's leader, outreach leader. And every week in the school term, I would go to the local school and I would run a program, it was called Champions, to 600 kids in the hall during school time. It was the most powerful opportunity where we would run this program of character and moral values based on the Bible, and we'd have 600 kids listening. I had a team around us. It was powerful. We had worship. We did everything. 2016 was actually the last year I was there before I came to Auckland. The school passed an edict banning Bible in schools in that school, and it's become quite tough across the nation anyway, but I'm talking about that school. And they said, oh, we're going to change it, and there's another group that want to use that time. We're going to give it to them. It turns out that there were on the board, there were some people who had different agendas, basically non-Christian, and they had another plan of for the school. So the school went with that, and they said, oh, you can have lunchtime. So what happened, of course? It went from 600 to 6. Kids want to have lunch. They want to run around at lunchtime. We still, we still persevered, but we couldn't have the same influence. And a lot of those kids coming were Christian kids. I'm just saying the PC, the political, if you like, agenda of the culture in New Zealand is tightening. It is squeezing. Where are you standing as a Christian? Are you resolute in your faith? Now, when I say resolute, do you have in your heart such a conviction that when you get presented with a situation where you might need to say, I am a Christian, that you speak up? Are you ready to take some risks for God? Slide 8. What's risk? I believe firmly that if God puts something in your heart to make a stand, you take the risk, a God risk. If you don't listen to that call and you don't step out, I don't always believe that you're being obedient to God. And then that's up to you. God will use somebody else. It's not going to affect the big picture. But I don't know if you've been in that situation where I say, I really wished I'd spoken to that person. Or I shouldn't have watched that movie. Or I shouldn't have gone to that bar on my own at 12 o'clock at night. And then you've had that guilt. You've had that conscience, which is saying you didn't honor God. You weren't true to your own heart. Are you resolute in your actions? Daniel found favor with the king, and he went on to interpret his dreams, and he became like almost the king's advisor because he could interpret. Through Daniel's faithfulness, through his resolve to be obedient to God. There are a couple of God theology points that we need to just perhaps realize here. God is absolute. He is sovereign. The absolute sovereignty of the Lord will always overcome everything. And the Lord will always use us to put the sovereignty of God into a situation. Miracles that happened with Daniel's life, the lions, even the guard changing his view, is because of God's power. And the second point is the power of persistent prayer. So, for Christians today, we've seen Daniel as a model. Old Testament, I always have thought it as the Old Testament, we learn God's ways, but the New Testament, since the birth of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, we live like the New Testament. Learn by the old, live by the new. The law was in the Old Testament. Christ brought in relationship, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and the Holy Spirit. And we live in that relationship with Jesus Christ right now. As Christians today, I was talking to a man who runs Auckland Alpha. And we are looking to doing Alpha on later in term two for new Christians and unchurched people. He made a point to me, if you could put that slide up, and this is out of a survey done by Wilberforce Foundation. It's a Christian foundation. In 23, they put out a booklet, and if you just Google that, which I did, you can find that they have all these beliefs and situations of Christianity in New Zealand. But in this slide, there's a generation called Generation Z. Now, that is a person who was born 1996 to 2012. So that's pretty much people who are like aged 12 to 27 today. That is considered a lost generation to God. Now, how did that come about? I'm a baby boomer. Okay, born 1952. I'm a baby boomer. My dad is called the silent generation. This is a little bit of a generalization, but my dad, I'm just saying, was a very strict, controlling, loving man, didn't know how to really relate to kids, because he in turn had never been related to. He had been taught that children should be seen and not heard. You sit at the table and eat everything and don't speak. And he was a good man, but he was not a Christian. But he taught me how to be a good kid, live a good life. We did holidays, I played sport, but I didn't know about God. The silent generation, and I believe how I'm interpreting it, down through the baby boomers, Generation X, the millennials, Generation Z, which is today's youth. And we have a group called Desire, which is hitting the youth, which is awesome. Because that is an area we need to attack as Christians. And for me, as a baby boomer, if you're a millennial or anyone else in those sort of generations preceding that, even you, Clara, if you're preceding that generation, it is up to us to pass on the baton, to share the love of God. As parents, how much more important does it become to pass on and bring your children up in the way of God? To be resolute in how you bring your children up, to be resolute on how you share the gospel, to be resolute on how you live your life. Slide 10. Now, this question is for you. Can we care so much about something that we resolve to see it to the end? You know the saying, oh, I don't really care, it won't happen. But if someone says to you, do you care that I am going to die? As a Christian, what do you say? No. As a Christian, you say, I care, but don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of death. Just like Daniel made a stand, resolute. I'm going to lay out some questions to you, and these are rhetorical, but I want you to just do a little mental check. What would you do? What would you do for Christ in this situation? I'll let you into a little background. These are all scenarios that have happened in my Christian life. I'm not going to say how I answered them, but what would you do? When I was a youth pastor in the other church, we had WWJD. What would Jesus do? And we told the kids they wore these bands and they'd sort of, I mean, it was a bit more to it than that, but it was a little catchphrase that at least made them think what they would do for Jesus. This is the first one. There's a few. You don't buy lotto tickets. You are given a lotto ticket for your birthday. Do you go and check it out to see if you won anything? Just a question. A man and a daughter turn up at church asking for money to buy petrol to travel from Wellington to Auckland. Do you give them money? A friend from a local traditional church asks for advice. He says his leaders have announced that their church will carry out same-sex marriages. Should I stay in the church? It's up to you to think. Different people might have different ideas, but in all of this, what would God say to you for you to do this? You are late for a hospital appointment. The only part left in the car park is a mobility park. You do not have a mobility park permit. Do you park in the permit? Rick, you're laughing. So I think we've probably all been in that situation. And I'm just going, what did God say to you? There's so many stories I could get into all these. You're on a packed bus during rush hour. An elderly woman gets in. No one stands up for her. You're sitting down. Do you stand up? You meet a stranger in the supermarket queue. While you're waiting, they start swearing and blaspheming about the course and the queue is too short. Do you tell them you're a Christian? The wife of your friend comes to you and says, my husband is having an affair. Would you buy a product that is known to be made by child slave labor? An unchurched friend invites you to a strip club. Have you ever intentionally driven through a red light? You're a pedestrian at a traffic light intersection. The red man is on. There are no cars in sight. Do you cross the road? Do you agree that New Zealand government should send troops, New Zealand troops, to Gaza to set the hostages free? Just rhetorical questions. Have you thought about that? You help a man and a partner and children find a job, find a flat, get the kids to school. You visit their home and you find evidence of heavy drug use. A drunk driver runs into your son's car and kills him. You are given the opportunity later on to visit them in prison. What would you say? You're asked to carry Bibles into North Korea. This is just, my mind goes there. It's the most persecuted nation on earth, according to all the surveys. Would you carry Bibles into North Korea? And this one is the one that probably touches your heart the most. A young woman comes to church saying she has run away from an abusive relationship with her male partner overnight. She has only the clothes she is wearing and is carrying a baby. What would you do? Just a question. Just something to think about. Just something to get your heart around. Can we care about something so much that we'll be resolute, we'll be absolutely, positively sold out for Jesus to share the love of Christ for what we're doing? And this is just our lifestyle. What about sharing our faith with resolution? So I'm going to quickly touch in the Bible the story of Joseph. Now Joseph has a long line of incidences from being sold into captivity, into Egypt, taken out of his land as well, a young man. He becomes Potiphar, who is like the head of the guard against our servant. Now Mrs. Potiphar was a very sensual, promiscuous lady, and she propositioned Joseph. And Joseph, a young man, what did he do? He said, no. Absolutely resolute, that's not what I am going to do. A young man, temptation, but he said no. He'd been brought up in a Christian family, Jacob, his dad. Because of that, Joseph was thrown in prison. Because he was in prison, he met the butler. Because the butler was the king's butler, and then he was released, and the butler had dreams, and Joseph interpreted it. The butler went back, and the Pharaoh said, I'm having dreams, who can interpret it? People tried, and they got executed because they couldn't interpret it. The butler says, I know a guy in prison. Joseph comes out, he interprets the Pharaoh's dreams, they're accurate, and Pharaoh's made... Joseph is made the prime minister. Now, Joseph's made the prime minister, and he has the wisdom to store food because God says there's a famine coming. The famine comes. Joseph has got all of the grains in the store, and the people are saved. So the Israelites, who are all slaves in Egypt, got to eat and survive. Because of Joseph's resolute obedience to God, God was able to carry on with the Israelites, and they came with Moses and the story there, come out, and it carried the lineage of Jesus Christ, who was a Jew. If Joseph had said no and dallied with Mrs. Potiphar, the whole story of God's plan would have been interrupted. All things work together for good, for those who love Christ. Boldness, resolute desire to share the gospel. Hairdressers, my testimony here. Pastor Peter loves the hairdresser, and he says, and he's told us from the front, he loves to go there because he gets to share the gospel. Just personally, I said, yeah, that's cool, but I think it's because he really likes styly haircuts. My hairdresser changes every time. That's a good thing for me because I'm just looking for an opportunity. Last Thursday, I went to the hairdresser in the mall, and the guy was there, and it's really quiet, and he's pulling down the door. God said, run over and ask him to give you a haircut. So I ran over, he opened it up, he pulled it down again, and then he started, and then he says to me, well, what do you do? Hello, whom? I said, I'm a pastor, and I just look after the church and kids and outreach and missions, and I just love Jesus. And he goes, wow, you're the same as me. My dad runs and is a leader in the local mosque. And then he proceeds to preach to me about the Quran. So for 2 or 3 minutes, I'm sitting there thinking, God, what do I do now? Because I'm getting preached to about the Quran. And God just dropped it in my heart, in my spirit. Ask him where he believes he goes when he dies. I asked him that because I said, look, I've got a question. Because he said to me, we're cousins. And I thought, uh-oh. We both believe in God. So I said, where do you believe you go when you die on earth? So then he launched into quite a long story about going up into a holding room before Allah, and he'll ask you to say one good thing that you've done in your life. And he might or might not say you can go into the kingdom, or whatever that is, hell in my thoughts. So I said, no. I said, do you know, I am already saved. I have Jesus in my life. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't need to wait till I die. I'm going to heaven because I've invited Jesus Christ into my life. I'm saved. I've been born again. I've been set free from sin. I still have a life to live, but I am set free and I know my destiny in Christ. He looked at me in the mirror and our faces sort of locked. And there was a moment where I just knew he was processing that thought. I thank God for the boldness to ask that question. How can we be resolute? First, we accept Jesus Christ into our life. When you invite Jesus into your life, it's into your heart. And as we heard in Eric's testimony, the power of God changes everything. Only God can do that. No longer living in the world. We do the basics. We pray, we read the Bible, we attend a fellowship. But most of all, are we resolute in sharing the gospel? My main premise today is to share the very heart and thought to share the gospel wherever you go, by your lifestyle, by your looking for opportunities to share your testimony. Could we have the worship team up, please? There's a command from Jesus. If you look at Matthew 28:18, and we know this scripture, and this is Jesus saying, and it is a command. We started off, I command you, be strong and courageous. We know this one. Do we absolutely, resolutely believe that we are to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Interesting enough, that's exactly what we're doing today as we baptize these people. Awesome. We're making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Are we ready to obey? It's a command. Jesus says, go. It's like, as a teacher, I used to cheekily say to the kids who would not respond to a direction, which part of go do you not understand, the G or the O? When you've got Christ in you, there's no questioning. There's no wondering what's happening. You just know that that is what you do. You share the gospel. You share your faith. If you don't know Jesus Christ in this place now, please come and ask. Please ask me. Ask Pastor Peter. Ask the leaders what it is to give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. It changes your life. You're washed clean through the blood of Christ. You are made new, whole. There's something in you about you. It just knows it's not you. Only God can put that in you. And when you get Christ in you, greater is He in you than the devil who's in the world. You are made strong. You're made pure. You're made righteous. You have the opportunity to live a free life, and you have the opportunity to share that with others. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you feel like I'm not in that place where I'm actively living for Jesus Christ, please ask, come up. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for those men of the Bible, Daniel, Joseph, who taught us how it is to be resolute for our faith. I thank you, Jesus, that you brought love and grace, salvation, overcoming sin into our hearts. I pray for each and every one of us, that Lord, can we just lift our hands, please? Just receive, Holy Spirit, come. I pray revelation, inspiration. I pray resolute faith, resolute boldness, resolute prayer. I am a child of God. And Father, I am going to live. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I submit afresh to you, Lord Jesus. I humble myself. I submit to you. I will serve you. I will do your will. I will share my testimony. I will share of the power of the gospel, that Jesus will take your rightful place. We love you, Jesus. I've got one word just as I finish, and we can just start going for the song. God gave me a word, and it's pride. What stops us from doing things? We might be a fool if we go and share the gospel. We might make a fool of ourselves. If you want to overcome that pride because of the service, but please come up for prayer at the end. We've got the pastoral team. I will pray. And out of that, it breaks things like selfishness. And if you So I don't want to be humble. I'll look weak. That's a lie of the enemy. Humble yourself before God and receive what Jesus has for you. Receive salvation. Receive prayer to overcome that pride that I can do things on my own strength. When you're doing things for God, you're just obedient to the call of the Father. I pray, Father God, that spirit of pride shall be broken in each of all of us, and those who are struggling with that, be gone. I take it out and I cut it in Jesus' name.